Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Over the past several weeks, Janie and I have been talking about all of the benefits that the cross of Christ provides for us. And today we want to look at the cross that we are called to bear. In Matthew 16:24 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it.'" So join in the conversation as we discover the cross that we bear. Okay, Janie, I want to do a recap on what we've talked about so far with the cross. So the cross paid for my sins by the blood, and this is the benefit that we're told most about. But the cross also took care of my flesh, my old nature, by the crucifixion. And the cross defeated the power of Satan in my life by the resurrection. So the cross provides benefits that goes beyond the price of my sin.
It's the centrality of all of our living. The cross afforded us eternal life. It afforded us hope. It afforded us escape from second death. It afforded us all the benefits that we have mentioned. And it has afforded us to not have to walk after the deeds of the flesh.
Yes.
So many times we have taken the cross to be a one-time event, and then it was completed, and the Lord says it is finished. So in our minds and sometimes our hearts, I believe we put the cross back up on the shelf, so thankful that we have it, so thankful that the Lord did it, and now let's get on with living.
Yeah. Yeah,
rather
exactly.
Than it becoming a daily cross, but it also calls us then to bear our cross.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, I'm not going to be one who tries to explain theology, so let's just quote a little scripture.
Okay.
All right. I do believe that there has been a greatly misunderstood, mistaught, and misapplied teaching about our cross from our hymns and our poetry, and sometimes even from the pulpit. We can be talking about the cross of Christ and then be talking about our cross, and the two get mixed in a way that they shouldn't be.
Okay.
We could never do the cross of Christ.
Absolutely.
Because we cannot forgive one another's sins, including our own. We cannot crucify our flesh in our own fleshly power.
Right.
It takes a supernatural resurrected life, and only Jesus Christ can provide that. But there is a new cross theology that's been running around for a few decades that I believe has really weakened the foundation of the church and the theology that has been since we have had theology. All right, so that's where I'd like to kind of go today a little bit and wake us up to where
the new... are you going to describe this new cross?
I'm going to try to at least give you an opening, and the Spirit within will have to bring life. All right? Because it's not something that we're just going to understand intellectually. We can take in the information and the truth, and the Spirit will have to bring life to that. But a couple of verses that they can start to jot down, if anyone's taking notes today, would be Matthew 16:24, where it says, "If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross." Matthew 10:38 says, "He that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Luke 14:27, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now that doesn't mean that you can't be his child. But a disciple is a learner, is someone who has set his face and course in a direction to study, to know. And yet, Sharon, if we can remember in John, where the Lord started giving some hard sayings to his disciples, not necessarily the 12, but the other disciples that were following him. Mm-hmm. And he started talking about having to eat of his body and drink of his blood. And in very contemporary language response, they said, "Ooh, we don't want that. That is hard sayings." And the Bible says, "And they turned and walked with him no more." Why? Because he was giving them information, truth, about the cross.
Okay.
And it was too difficult.
Well, Janie, you got some hard sayings going on here.
All right, then let's tell you what the cross is not.
Okay.
All right. So when you take up your cross, to bear your cross, it's not enduring some physical sickness.
Okay.
It's not even handling some mental anguish. It's not to be identified with the normal pressures of life, or the inconvenient, irritating circumstances of life. Because in those, we don't have a choice. And he says, take up.
So we're asked to do something.
So we are asked to do something.
So these are situations that are up on us without our choice.
That's right. Okay. So we really can't even blame old age for being a part of the cross.
Okay.
Now, it may, some of the things the Lord may work out, because he's unique in how he works this out in each person's life. But if we were to put a one-liner so that we can start to grasp the truth, then let's just say that the cross must refer to something which the believer can choose to apply. The cross is the suffering the Christian endures as a consequence of his following Christ in obedience. Now, Sharon, boy, we could start to really expand on that, because the suffering a Christian endures may be in the family relationship, because there's a believer and a non-believer living together. And we know that the spirit and the flesh will always be at enmity with one another. It will never connect with each other. It'll never be reconciled to one another. The cross could really be, you're going to stand for your principles at school or on the job.
Yeah.
And it costs you your reputation.
Or it costs you finances. Maybe you don't get a promotion or a raise because of that.
Or when we look at current Facebook and news, you get kicked out of a school. Or you are not allowed into a school because of the stand that you have chosen to make. Okay?
Right.
It's horrendous where we can then be an outcast by the world system.
Right.
We can be looked down upon, even though we are eternal spiritual beings, the world that has a big surprise awaiting them one day in God's timing still looks down upon us as nothing.
Right.
And we have to be able to...
Well, they treated Jesus just the same.
Oh, the
creator
Son of God
of
in
the
flesh.
World.
And remember, that extended to his own family.
Yes.
They didn't believe who he was until after the resurrection.
Right.
And so there is going to be a price to pay. It's going to be some fire. So how do we do this old cross versus the new cross? There is a new cross that has come about in the last, 40 years, where it states that a believer doesn't have to really die to the flesh. You don't have to have death unto life. But you just find similarities. You find likenesses. It doesn't seek to make an unpleasant demand upon you. Rather, it says, hey, let's just do the same thing that the world does, but we'll just do it on a higher level. It doesn't demand death of the old life before a new one can be created. In other words, it does not crucify the flesh, but it just simply redirects your flesh to a cleaner and jollier way of having self-respect and self-esteem.
So we don't have to repent.
Basically not. And where I see the sadness of this happening is some of us older folks have been taught the old cross, death to self, Romans 6, 7, and 8. But Sharon, the new cross has so invaded our culture. Our culture has so invaded the church that now we can, quote unquote, grow and still keep our nasty nows.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to forgive. We can
have a bad attitude.
Yes. Or we can be sitting around a table and somebody says something and we can just give a look, a raised eyebrow, rolling your eyes. Now, for the cross of Jesus Christ, it says death to self. That would be a judgmental action. That would be your opinion, and you're showing it to whomever is sitting in your circle. And now that's acceptable. We can speak negative of one another. And, oh, let me get on my hobby horse. 2 Corinthians 5, 26 says, we're not to know any man after the flesh. And the solution is that we know them as new creatures in Christ, which is the next verse down. But how do I know somebody after the flesh? So that I don't offend anybody's flesh today, can I use you and I as examples?
Yes.
All right, so it'll just be between you and I. All right? So let's just say you do something. No, let's put the blame on me. I'll understand it better. Let's just say that I do something. And you believe you know my heart. So there's one or two ways you can go. You can think, she's not sounding right. But I do know her heart. I hear her words. I see her lifestyle. So even though this is probably a flub on her part, I'm going to know that she's a new creature in Christ. And I'm going to see what I can do quietly or however as the Spirit leads me to make sure that this doesn't turn into an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can take the new way of the cross and you can think, well, I tell
who
you what,
does she think
who does she think she is? And then you can start to elaborate on all the ways that my flesh may be trying to creep out, which is coming a lot from your opinion, because you are not standing on 517. And the next thing you know, you're repeating that to someone else.
Can you believe?
Can you believe? And the next thing we know, we have the beginnings of envying, jealousy, variance,
discord,
discord, mm-hmm. strife.
Among the brethren.
Everything that we talked about last week.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I gotcha.
We have an option of how we can see one another.
So the new cross is basically love.
Which, Sharon, somebody would debate you and say, wait a minute, Sharon. Don't you know about unconditional love? And you're going to reply, yes, I do. But do you know about all the conditions that the Lord asks us to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us when it comes to relationship love?
Yes. Well, I guess that's a really complicated discussion.
It is, and it's something that we need to delve into. And as we seek to know the Lord personally, first and foremost, then he opens it up to us.
So the new cross is basically saying God loves me
and I can do anything
I want. I can do anything I want. So we're taking liberty in our flesh, which is what we talked about last week not to do, and not walking in the Spirit and knowing that we are spiritual beings.
Good way to put it. And a contemporary one-liner could be, we can have our cake and eat it too.
Okay.
We can have the security of the cross and still act like total jerks in the flesh. Such as we can say to the self-assertive temperament, we can say, come assert yourself for Christ. And to the person who's got a really big ego, come and do your boasting in the Lord. Or maybe to the thrill seeker, we can say, come and enjoy the thrill of Christian fellowship. Make socializing the goal of your Christian life. But the new cross wants no burdens. Its philosophy may be sincere, but it misses the whole point of the cross. Because if you can have your cake and eat it too, then you can have all the benefits of the cross and not be required to travel the path that the Lord has called us to. There are so many verses, "For I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." This is Paul talking in 1 Corinthians 2:2 to the most carnal church that we have recorded in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, he gives an understanding. "But to the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Mm-hmm. So, Sharon, if I am walking in the flesh with all the deeds of the flesh and feeling free to do so, then what happens to my conscience and my discernment? It's totally hindered. It's going no place. I may have the security of salvation, but I certainly have no joy in the fellowship that is mine, because the Lord is not going to fellowship with the new cross. It goes against His word and what He had to do to bring us to where we could have life. So we do have to decide, are we willing to walk the fire again? Today's culture that's creeped into the church doesn't want anything uncomfortable, messy, painful, or restrictive. Those things need to be avoided at all cost. There is too much stress, and even our, some, certainly not all, but some of our brothers and sisters just say, "You are trying to put one more stress on my life, and I'm about to crater the way it is. And now you're telling me that I've got to do something that I just can't do in my own strength." Well, yeah, but it's been done for you. That's why we need to understand the true cross, which many would call the old cross, and not to take on the new cross. If you want to really delve into this, go and read A.W. Tozier. He has many different works that he has written that he gets into this and really explains it in depth through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, and gives very good application. I like one of his books where he says, "I talk back to the devil." Mm. You know, he shows you how to recognize the lies and the deceptions. Right. Okay? But basically what we're saying is all of self and self-interest has got to go. Have you got any comments on that? Are there any questions that come to your mind that you think somebody might be saying, "What are these girls saying today?"
Well, I'm just thinking that the new cross has a lot to do with just a very casual kind of Christian that we have become. We don't have any convictions or any absolutes in our life that we are adamant about. You know, we look at some of the older generation and I'm kind of an older generation too, but you know, we as a culture look at the older generation and we think, gosh, they're so
out of date.
Yeah. Outdated. But
we've
progressed beyond you old people.
Yes.
Yes.
And so then I want to
come back. We've been enlightened.
Yes. And so then I'm thinking, have the scriptures been rewritten? Yeah. And if the scriptures have been rewritten, then maybe we need to listen to the new cross. But until I can find new scriptures. Yeah.
They're only being rewritten in the hearts of people.
Yeah.
And they're taking pieces and some of our versions, our Bible versions, just like you were saying last week about the blood being taken out, the word blood being taken out of our Bible.
Because it's nasty.
Because it's nasty. It's scary. It's vulgar or
an obscene.
Obscene. Mm-hmm. And so I think it has to do with the the phrase God is love. Yes, God is love, but there is so much more to God than this lackadaisical, complacent.
Well, you know how you can sum it up? I agree with everything you're saying. And then let's go back to the most popular verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. How did he give him? Did he just send him down here on a cloud or on a merry-go-round of, you know, great life and fun? No, he sent him to die.
Yes.
Love paid the price.
Right.
And for people who can be so caught up in the materialistic, temporal, mm-hmm. that's all going to fade away and has no lasting permanent value. Love gave. Love still gives.
Yeah.
Love shows its way.
Love paid the price, but very seldom, if we are walking in this new cross that you've described to me today, we are not loving him back.
Yes, that's right. And we are also not only not loving him back, but we are insulting him by calling him a liar on what he did for us, like it was not necessary.
Trampling him under our feet.
Yes, beautiful way of saying it. And just to hold the balance to the Word of God, we can never forget that in Hebrews 1:3, well, actually, let me back up and just say from Hebrews 1:1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Okay, so we can always go back and say the Word of God is timeless. It hasn't changed, but man is choosing to change to accommodate what is comfortable and pleasurable because we have listened and believed the lies and not stood on the truth.
Yeah, and also in Hebrews, there's Hebrews 13, I believe it says that Jesus is the same today, yesterday, today
and
forever.
Yes.
And so we have a lot of information in our scriptures to help us understand the cross, if we will look at that information and not pick and choose what we want to take in and receive and do and know, and so we can live a complacent life.
You may have cherry pie for Christmas, but you cannot cherry pick the scriptures.
Oh, I like that one, right. Janie.
Now, what about the benefits? Because we keep talking about the benefits. So let me, from the scriptures, read you a couple of the eternal benefits. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that no longer should we live the rest of the time in the flesh to the lust of man, but to the will of God. Now, do we have time for Matthew 10:30?
Yes.
Okay. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. It's only once through the truth that we can really do good works and to serve him. And the whole goal is that we can know him. John 17:3, where the Lord Jesus said, Father, that they would know one another the way we know one another. And we're going to end on that note.
All right, Janie. Until next time, this is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.